Welcome to the Bethany Hour. Stay tuned as we look into the book of Acts. Welcome to this edition of the Bethany Hour. Thank you for joining with us as we look to Scripture for help and direction as we follow Jesus Christ. Pastor Adams will return in just a moment. Bethany Assembly of God is located in Agawam, Massachusetts, at the corner of Main Street and Route 57. Our Sunday services are at 9 a.m. for our traditional service and 11 a.m. for our contemporary service. Our midweek service on Wednesday includes programs and services for all age groups. Log on to our website at bethany-ag.org for more information about these and other services.
Welcome to the Bethany Hour, Pastor Adams and Pastor Reed. I hope you had a great Thanksgiving and looking forward to the upcoming season of the year. probably the greatest event that's ever happened in the history of mankind was the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ.
You know, we may not know the exact day, and all, if you look at church history, it bounces all over the map, but the reality is that there was a person named Jesus who was born, who has radically transformed the world.
It's historically correct. It's been in many, many, many different sources, so you can't say it's some kind of a dream that somebody right. wrote up, a book, but it's a reality that God himself came to the earth. Amen. And came for a purpose, for a reason, because he loved you, he loved me, yep. and he knew that we couldn't get to heaven without a sacrifice.
Yeah, and he clothed himself. God, yeah, the one who created the heavens and the earth, lives outside of space and time, yeah. clothed himself in humanity, came as a little innocent baby in that manger, and then grew and became that sacrifice, like you just said.
You almost have to understand, I think, to some degree that, you know, we look at the world today, say, well, why wouldn't you rather be in heaven? Yeah. I would imagine when God created the earth, it was like heaven. It was there were no weeds. Everything grew nicely. Everything was probably wonderful. Adam and Eve were in a beautiful place. And I would imagine God's created this world like that. And he understands the potential that is here on this earth yeah. That has been usurped by the enemy. And so his heart is to return, to redeem the earth as well as mankind. And so he sees it and he says that kind of love he has for this. And that's the reason why he came. Because if I looked at the earth right now, I'd say, I'd rather stay in heaven. Forget about the earth.
Forget about it. Seriously, that's exactly how God could have thought about it. And yet, you know, I'm not one that does a lot of things in creativity, you know, like woodworking or whatever. I have done it, you know, with my hands. But God handcrafted this heavens and this earth. And like you said, he must look at this and see the potential there.
Oh, my goodness.
There's a verse in the Bible, you know, that talks about how the earth is even groaning, longing to be freed from the bondage that it's in from sin. So, yeah, the amazing fact that God would do that for us and has plans one day to rebuild it, reform it, reshape it. And for those of us who have accepted by faith this sacrificial work that Jesus Christ has done,
we're going to benefit.
We get to experience it.
We will experience it. We'll benefit everything about it.
Yeah.
And sometimes, you know, when you might be listening to the program this morning and you're listening to it and you're saying, my life has been hard. It's been really difficult. It's been a challenge. And it's true. If you live in this world, anywhere in this world, let's say you own a piece of property. If you let that piece of property go, weeds get in there. Everything gets in there, and before you know it, it's overgrown.
Yeah,
it doesn't take long for something, the weeds and stuff, to grow over everything and take over control over everything. And so life gets like that. Things take over our life that we don't like. But there's coming a day, if you have Christ in your life, there's coming a day when life will be much, much, much better than what you have right now. So if you're thinking about how difficult your life is, I think you should just examine, well, what can I do to actually help myself in the future? Yeah. Maybe right now it may not seem like much, but the future, if you're in God, is amazing. And so I would have you consider to give your life to God and say, I'm going to just say, okay, Lord, I'll do it your way.
Yeah. You know, and don't think that heaven is some place where you sit around on a cloud with your feet dangling over playing some harp, you know, in a diaper. That's not what heaven's about. You know, heaven's going to be about...
I didn't mind everything until you mentioned
the diaper part.
The diaper.
I mean, it wouldn't be too bad, but people that are afraid of heights, you know. Yeah. I mean, but it's there's going to be relationship there. There's going to be life
purpose.
There and purpose and... And it's going to be so far beyond what we could ever think or even imagine here. And like I said, some of us have concepts of heaven that are so far removed from what the Bible says about it and what God has in store for us, because his thoughts are so higher than our thoughts.
Yeah.
And I want you to understand that eternity is going to be amazing in God's presence. Go to some of the Psalms and see what the psalmist wrote about the presence of God in the throne room in heaven, and you'll see that it is way far better than anything we could ever experience here.
We've been talking a lot about heaven because that's really what we're going to read now in Acts chapter 1. We're going to read verse number 9. It's talking about Jesus taking, he's been taken up into heaven. It said, After he said this, he was taken up before the very eyes of his disciples, and a cloud hid him from their sight. So he's on the Mount of Olives, and all of a sudden, as he's talking to his disciples, he starts rising. Now, he has his new body, a resurrected body. So he's rising up into the heaven. So there is a heaven. Here, the disciples say he's rising, he's got a new body, and they see him rising up, and there must have been some clouds in the sky, and he went right through the clouds out of their sight, up into heaven. Now, means I'm assuming heaven is definitely up. It's not down.
It's not
because
down.
When we think about down, we're thinking about a different place.
Right.
We're thinking about a place that's kind of fiery and not the place you want to go to.
H-E double hockey sticks.
That's a good way. I never heard it said that. But then he's taken up. So he's going up into heaven. It says they were looking intently up into the sky as he was going, when suddenly two men in white stood beside them. Now, you can imagine their focus. He's going up.
Right.
What are they going to focus on?
Exactly.
Who can fly? You know, he's going up. So they're focused on Jesus going up.
Yeah.
And their eyes are on him. And before you know it, boom, right beside them, there's two men dressed in white. And guess who they are?
Yeah.
You know, they're just not a couple of guys from the earth. It says they're dressed in white. Very, very particular. All of a sudden, there, of course, they're angels.
Yeah. You know, I mean, Jesus said, hey, I'm going to go, but I'll come back.
Yep.
And so they're probably staring, going, okay, how long is he going to be gone? When's he coming back?
Well, that's true. I didn't think about that. Could be a minute.
Could be, you know, so they were intently looking, waiting for him to go up, maybe talk to dad, and come back down and come get them or whatever. But they were just, like you said, they'd never seen a hot air balloon that just gently lifted up off the ground, or, you know, some kind of a hang glider or an airplane. They hadn't seen any of that stuff. All they saw was birds that flew.
Birds,
and they knew that they weren't. He wasn't a bird,
right.
But all of a sudden he just starts lifting and going. I mean, that must have been an incredible sight to see.
Yeah, definitely focused on him leaving that way. And of course, your attention would not be upon your surroundings because you're looking up.
Right.
So your eyes are focused up, and then
all of a sudden there's a couple of guys in their white outfits, you know, that if they just happen to appear, like you said, their heads are up, but, you know, did they see it? They probably figured a couple of guys walked up to them, and then when they looked down and they saw these guys in white.
How startling that must have been.
And these angelic voices saying.
Yeah. Men of Galilee, they said. Why do you stand here looking up into the sky? The same Jesus who's been taken from you and into heaven will come back in the same way you have seen him go into heaven. Oh, I can't imagine how that must have been. They're watching the Savior rising, and then they're startled because these guys are in brilliant white clothes. And I would have to say, I would venture to say even, the only people that probably had white clothes in those days were maybe someone who was wrapped in a grave, or maybe a Pharisee might have a very white clothes. Most people did not wear white.
Right, no.
There wasn't white.
No.
It just wasn't that easy to keep clean, so that you wouldn't want to wear white. And these guys are dressed in white.
Yeah.
And of course, they tell them, hey, Jesus is coming back.
Yeah. He's gone to heaven. They use that word heaven twice.
Yeah, that's true.
So it's a real place, but they also reaffirmed us with what we call the blessed hope that he's coming back, that one day he will return. And that's what kind of fires us up for that moment when we will see him come again. Now, it's been 2,000 years. We're still waiting for him. But still, 2,000 years later, we hear the gospel. We hear that his sacrifice, his death, his burial, his resurrection, and then his promise to return. When we hear that, it inspires faith within us, and we believe, and something happens to us internally when we hear that message. And it almost takes us to this moment here with the disciples, and we start, you know, lifting our eyes toward heaven, saying, Jesus, when are you coming back?
Yeah, and I think that's probably the key thing when you mentioned that we lift our eyes up into heaven, because the truth is we're always, and that's what some people think about Christians, well, you're always looking to heaven.
Yeah.
You're always looking up to heaven, because that's where the answer is.
There it is.
There's the answer. He's coming back. Jesus is coming back.
Yeah.
And when he comes back, he's coming back to rule with a rod of iron. But when he comes back, he's coming back the same way he went. So that's why we're looking to heaven. So he says that's why you should keep looking to heaven.
Right.
So I don't know what your answer, what answer you need, but here you should be looking to heaven. You should be looking to Jesus coming back, and that's the key.
I was listening to a brilliant scientist that if I mentioned his name, everybody would know, but he was being interviewed by Larry King, and Larry King was asking him about existence and heaven and hell kind of thing. But ultimately, this scientist basically said that when he dies, nothing happens. He goes into nothingness,
oblivion,
to non-existence.
Yeah.
And I know there's a lot of people that believe that, that think that. There are other religions that talk about a different eternity. But here, I really believe this is reality, that what Jesus said, what he did, who he is, will one day be revealed as the truth. And we will be able to spend eternity with him in heaven and experience all the great things he has in store for us.
And if you, you know, if you go with that kind of a logic that says that when you die, you go to just to nothingness, you go to, it's like an annihilation of everything, then there really is, you know, when you talk about, well, murder, you talk about killing someone, there really is no moral issue in that if there's nothing.
Right.
I mean, there's just nothingness. So it doesn't make, doesn't make a lot of sense in the way that we actually feel within our being, because within us, we recognize that there is something to our existence and it's more than just this physical body. And so when somebody says, well, that's all there is, then you lose all moral grounds for anything.
It's a sad state to, like you said, to think of, and it does justify, I don't want to say justify, but it you know, it opens the door to all kinds of living that is just completely immoral or even amoral, without morals.
Yes.
And so you can almost say, well, why can't I do what I want to do? I was talking about it in a Sunday school class that I was teaching where, you know, laws have been made that, you know, kind of changed
what you'd like.
Yeah, you know, changed what's been the norm for millennia. One man, one woman, husband and wife. And so, well, you know, then two men can get married or two women can get married. And my question to that is, why does it have to stop there? Why can't three people get married or four people or, you know, whatever? Because the minute you open that door, it creates a whole bunch of other options that need to be thought about. And so, but if we look at what the biblical stance has been, it makes sense. It makes sense morally. It makes sense, like you said, on the inside, you feel something when it's right or wrong.
Right.
And it goes back to a God, a moral God who created us.
Yeah. And it, when you lose that, like you mentioned, when you lose some kind of moral high ground, if you will, you take our Constitution. The Constitution really was developed by men of faith, and the biblical concepts that are found within the Constitution, the equality of mankind and the pursuit of happiness, if you will, but to bring glory to God, and all the things found in the Constitution, well, if you can go to the place where you say, well, none of these things really matter, then you can change. You can change whatever you want. Mm. Change the Constitution. You can change the Bible. You can change the morality. You can change lifestyles. You can change anything you'd like to change. Well, what happens when you say that you can do that? Now you have people that want to do this, people that want to do that, people want to do another thing, people want to do something else. So now you've got conflict because you have no unity between any group of people,
right,
because all you have is divisiveness now. You have no unity.
Yep.
And the Bible brings a unity because there is an absolute morality, there's an absolute truth. And so it brings unified people together. And so you might have one degree of belief in something, someone have another degree of belief in something, but there's some common ground in the middle that you both absolutely attribute truth to. And so you can find a place to meet and you can coexist.
Sure.
But when you lose that, then all of a sudden, it'll end up eventually that whoever has the biggest gun is going to be the one who's going to rule. It's going to turn into anarchy. It'll turn into chaos. And violence will increase. And violence is increasing. We see it all around. Yeah. And that's what happens when there's no place where people can come to any kind of an agreement. When you can be a law unto yourself, then all of a sudden, who's got the biggest gun wins.
Right. You know, and it's amazing to me that Jesus, who was God in the flesh, left such great responsibility in the hands of men who were not perfect.
No.
And if you leave us to our own devices, we wind up hurting one another and not living right, you know. But the wonderful thing is, in the previous verses, he talked about the Holy Spirit living within us. And so he didn't leave us alone. He didn't leave us to our own devices, but he did go into heaven. But him and the Father sent the Holy Spirit to dwell within us and to give us the direction and the help and the teaching that we need to help bring peace to the earth and to help bring hope to the earth, because we are... human beings are hurting. A lot of them are helpless and hopeless. There's so much stuff happening in the world that causes so much pain and anguish. And Jesus says, I've come that you might have peace.
And just before he was taken to heaven, he told his disciples that he's going to restore the kingdom of God. Mm. He says, I'm going to bring back the kingdom of God. I'm going to restore it to the earth. In other words, what we're talking about is the quality of unity that's found in the heart of God, in the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. There is the Trinity has a unity. That's why you can say God is one. That kind of unity is going to be restored to the earth. So this chaos and all of these people doing what's right in their own eyes is going to be done away with, and there's going to be a restoration of God's kingdom. Now, a lot of people don't like that, but you'll find out that if you find yourself in that kingdom, all of a sudden you begin to recognize, man, it's a lot better here than it was out there.
Yeah, definitely.
It's a lot better. So here he's taken up into heaven, and he says he's coming again, and the angels say that he's going to come again soon the same way. So as we celebrate the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ this Christmas season, we need to remember the fact why he came and what he did when he was here. The reason and purpose is to restore the kingdom. And he went away, and he did give us a responsibility, like Pastor Tim said, to help restore the kingdom. Then he's coming back again.
Amen.
To bring it to fruition. And so I hope you have a great Christmas season and that you're looking up into heaven, because that's Jesus. He's coming back. Hey, this is Pastor Adams and Pastor Reed. God bless you. Have a great day.